May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1129. Jesus, we come to meet with Thee, our Lord and King, to bow before Thy feet and hear Thy praises sing. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. Hymn 1129.
Thank you. May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. Firstly, we will read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 30. And then we'll read from the Gospel according to Luke. But Proverbs chapter 30, commencing at verse 3, as far as verse 9. Proverbs 30, verse 3. I neither learnt wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me the vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now we will turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, and commencing at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, commencing at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because He is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. For he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, he will give him, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy help now as we come before thee, into thy presence. For, O Lord, thou dost say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And, O Lord Jesus, thou art here. By the Spirit, thou art here. We are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. O Lord, we do pray, look in mercy upon us. Help us. We do beg for that mercy. O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to clothe us in thy righteousness. Wash us in thy precious blood. Wash our sins away, we pray. O Lord, that we may be clothed, that we may no longer be naked, nor trusting in our own self-righteousness. But, O Lord, clothed in thy righteousness, O Lord Jesus Christ, thine obedience. O Lord, we do pray for thy help, for we are truly poor and needy. We have need of thy help that we may come rightly before thee this day. We have need of thy help in those matters that weigh with such weight upon us. We have need of thy help to strengthen us, to bring us through, to direct us, to guide us, to comfort us, to sustain us. O Lord, we do need of thy help to give us wisdom, that we may know thy will, to understand that which thou wilt have us to do, and that we may be given the strength and the obedience so to do. O Lord, we do pray for thy grace and mercy as we come to thy word, to give me that help to speak that which is right, that which will be profitable, to help the brethren here in their, as they hear, as they read, and each of us, whether we speak or hear, to be doers of the word and not hear us only. O Lord, do work powerfully in our hearts, that there may be that work in our hearts, in our souls, and flowing from that, that evidence in our lives that we have been with Jesus, been with thee. That it may be seen that we have been with Jesus. O Lord, we do pray for thy favour to rest upon us each here, and upon this church and congregation. We do beg for thy gracious help. Thou mightest make them to increase, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Thou mightest be pleased to grant that increase in numbers, that increase in godliness. Oh, how we do need it. How so often we're like, as we read, like Martha, cumbered about much serving. O Lord, do grant us more of that spirit of Mary to sit at thy feet. Indeed, it was not an idle sitting at thy feet. Idleness is never commended, we know, O Lord. But, O Lord, that committing of our way unto thee, that resting upon thee and thy strength, thy power, thy majesty. O Lord, we do pray that we may be more in that spirit, and indeed as we come to thy word today, we may be sat at thy feet to hear thy voice. And truly there is a blessing. O Lord, do be with our friends here, the church and congregation, that thou hast be pleased to favour them and to bless them. Do help our friends, the deacons, in their responsibility. Do bless thy servants as they come and preach the word here. We do pray there may be thy favour resting upon each one, upon the young people and the children and the little ones. O Lord, do teach them and keep them, preserve them, guide them in this present evil day. O Lord, lead them, us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, how needful that we may be kept looking unto Jesus. O Lord, how wonderful it is when by faith we see thee, O Lord Jesus, thy majesty, thy glory, thy love, thy compassion, thy faithfulness. O Lord, do direct our thoughts, our eyes of faith to thee this day. O Lord, we do pray for our friends here that are expecting children. O Lord, that thou be with them, to preserve them, to grant them that safe delivery, that preservation and safe keeping for the unborn children. O Lord, we do pray that thy good hand may be upon them. And, O Lord, each of us who are parents, do grant us that wisdom and that help to bring our children up rightly in thy sight. For, O Lord, how many things there are that would turn aside our own hearts, our own thoughts, the thoughts and hearts of our children. O Lord, do lead us in that right way. And do be with any that are unable to gather in thy house, to help them and to strengthen them in their affliction or illness or caring for others. And do bless thy servants as they go forth to preach this day. And, O Lord, we do pray, thou art the Lord of the harvest, to raise up and send forth more ministers to fill the empty pulpits, the empty pastorates. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to appear, Almighty God. O Lord, indeed, we do pray for thy help and thy mercy in the nation. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast raise up those that would fear thy name. Thou hast have mercy upon our government, our Queen and Royal Family and Parliament. And O Lord, do preserve our liberty, we do pray, to read thy word, to worship thee, to preach. O Lord, we live in a very sad day, when those who would in authority might claim that they would promote Christianity as they would call it, yet the hatred is clear for the Bible and thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, as thou art revealed in spirit and in truth. O Lord, we do pray that for that preservation. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest raise up those who would be men or women of integrity, honesty, more so God-fearing in our Parliament. O Lord, we do pray in that forthcoming elections which must come according to thy sovereign will in the coming year, that there be those raised up who would truly fear thy name, those of honesty, integrity. O Lord, how we own with shame those things which have been done and said in this current Parliament. O Lord, do deliver us, we pray, and help us. Do, O Lord, be with those in other lands in great need, in great poverty, in great need of thy word, in great need of thy help amidst wars or famines or disease, to help the orphans and the fatherless. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to turn back that tide of a terrible plague of Ebola in West Africa. Thou mightest be pleased to stay that terrible disease. And do help those that are suffering so greatly, those who are bereaved. O Lord, we do pray especially for thy one true church there, that thou would sustain them and be with them. And O Lord, those suffering so greatly in the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria, O Lord, we do pray, turn back that tide of violence and barbarity, that those who are suffering so greatly may be able to return to their homes, or those who have lost all to, by thy grace and thy mercy, that they might find their all in thee, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, that there may be that light of the gospel shining into that troubled area. The gospel of peace and of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray, come and help. And grant us now that help as we come to thy word. We thank thee that we have thy word before us, faithfully delivered unto us in our language. Grant us that ears to hear, that we may hear faithfully, and to walk faithfully by thy grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I particularly direct you to Luke chapter 11 and verse 3. Luke chapter 11 and verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. This is part of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. We read, and it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Before I come to the specific verse, we'll come to the context. They came to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. How dependent we are upon the Lord in all things. Dependent upon the Lord when we come unto him for wisdom, for grace, for mercy, for help, for our daily food, for our spiritual food. Dependent upon him for all things. Yet the natural heart of man would be independent. To be one's own master. We're honest with ourselves. We've got that within us. We want to be our own master. We don't want to be dependent on anyone else. We want to do what I want to do. I've heard my pastor and no doubt other ministers say that the middle letter in the word sin is I. S-I-N. The middle word is I. I is at the centre of sin, disobedience. What I want to do. What I think is right. What I want to get in this life. What I want to achieve and what I want to be. Do we not see those things stamped over our present evil day? And if we are honest with ourselves, do we not see that stamped upon the old man of sin, our hearts? Do we not see the devil's temptation to such things, to self-glory, to self-satisfaction? But the Lord in his mercy by grace unto sinners is to bring them to see that they are sinners and to come and seek their all in Christ, in the Lord. No longer to worship I, but to worship him, to seek him for all things. And as it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. We see here the importance of the words of Scripture. When he ceased, what was our Lord doing? He was praying. When we see the record of our Lord's prayers, as we read, we do not have a record in this particular place what that prayer was. But we see elsewhere he was praying for his disciples, praying for the church. We see that so beautifully in John chapter 17, when he was about to lay down his life at Calvary. There he was praying unto God the Father, praying for his disciples, praying for those that would believe in his name. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for that strengthening in his sacred humanity, the terrible burden of sin laid upon him in his sacred humanity. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. If this cup pass not from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Those prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ, how precious they are for the sheep, for those for whom he came to die, those for whom he came to rise again and to ascend into glory, and now his intercession in heaven. He was praying. Like so many things, it is Christ first. We love him because he first loved us. We bless him because we are blessed in all spiritual places in Christ from before the foundation of the world. We thank him because we read of how our Lord Jesus Christ gave thanks. And here we see that desire to come to pray. Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus was praying. And when he had ceased, there was no coming to Jesus and interrupting him halfway through. When he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Also that sense of when he has ceased, that finished prayer, that finished work. That finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having fulfilled all the righteousness, fulfilled every, well, that expression is jot and tittle, those smallest of marks in the Hebrew language, the smallest of things, having done it all, fulfilled it all on behalf of his beloved people. So we read those words upon the cross, "It is finished." Not only fulfilled all righteousness, but bore the judgment of God the Father on account of all the sins of his people, out of every kindred, tribe, nation and tongue. That finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is finished. So where the doors then is open, that highway to eternal life, to mercy, to grace. And when he ceased, there was that finished completion of his prayer, we say spiritually, of his finished work, displaying all his love and mercy and grace. There we have that way that we may come unto the Father. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, saith the Lord Jesus Christ." When he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There we see that reverence, a reverence, a godly fear, an honouring, a bowing down in coming before God, but God the Father, but yet it is our Father. Begins with the word "our." Why is he our Father? In that true spiritual sense, because of the finished work of Christ, in reconciling the true church, unto God the Father, through his sacrifice upon the cross, through his obedience, his fulfilling of the law, it so pains me when I see some of the modern corruptions of God's word that the Lord's Prayer just begins with Father. The word our is missing. As are quite a few other parts of the Lord's Prayer as well, but we will pass over that. But that first word removed. We feel the warmth and the love here in the word our. Our Father, made spiritual sons by adoption, through love. Our Father, which art in heaven, a heavenly Father. And thus we must bow before him, one who is infinitely wiser than we are, infinitely more powerful, infinitely compassionate in the Lord Jesus Christ, merciful, gracious. We see that desire, thy kingdom come. A desire for the Lord's kingdom. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. There we should pray that the Lord's will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. The Lord Jesus Christ in that extremity in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the horror of his suffering and burden, nevertheless bowing before the will of God the Father. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Now we come to our text. Give us day by day our daily bread. Struck me enough, our first hymn that we had there in 11:29 in one of the verses. Our strength will soon decrease unless our souls be fed. We feel our health and peace depend on living bread. Thy gracious hand now, Lord, display, and empty send us not away. Speak first in the immediate aspect of this, give us day by day our daily bread. How even in seemingly the smallest things we should pray unto the Lord. We're dependent upon him for our daily food. In the bounty that we have and have enjoyed for many years in this nation in natural things, I think there were perhaps very few of us who, if at all, have grown up in a time of dearth in terms of natural food in this land. Yet how unthankful we are. Take it for granted that there is bread. Take it for granted if we want bread, we go to the shop and we buy it. Take it for granted that we've got money in our pockets so to do. As you children, take it for granted that your parents will always be able to put bread in front of you and other things too. How in these things we should, as our Lord teaches, that we should pray, give us day by day our daily bread. We're used to buying in a week's supply, a month's supply perhaps, having enough in store for many days. And unless we become prayerless, independent of God, the Lord, and it is in his mercy and his wisdom, brings us into those places of need. Places where we have exhausted our resources, might not be literally in terms of the cupboard and the bread there, but in other things. Or it might be in terms of the bank balance exhausted, the bread exhausted, literally. I know not. Then it brings us to pray in a way that we've not prayed before, a dependency that we've not walked in before, a reality to the prayer rather than, like I was used to in the Church of England for many years, reciting the Lord's Prayer like a parrot, not understanding the words but could recite every word. But when brought into a real need and a felt need, it's different. Give us day by day our daily bread. We're reading at that part in Proverbs chapter 30. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me not them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient. That means suitable, appropriate for me. Lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? We see that stamped upon our day. In our country, alas, so many in places of worship as well, full of the things of this life. And whether literally or by their lives, they declare, who is the Lord? Lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Are not these things, we're honest about it, searching? Are we seeking to be full? To be full of things? We have the parable of the rich fool that our Lord gave. There had been that great prosperity, the great increasing in his harvests. So many fruits of the earth remained. He declared that he would pull down his barns and build bigger. He said unto himself, soul, thou'st much in store for many days. Thus he was communing, as it were, in his soul about the fullness of the things here, how he would bestow them into the storehouses and the barns, and have much in store to last many days. Take thine ease, he said within himself. If left to ourselves, that is us, that is me. In that parable, the Lord then went on to say that night the Lord said unto him, thou fool, this night thy life shall be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be? Lest I be full and deny thee. Give us day by day our daily bread. That dependence upon the Lord, day by day. We have the warning and indeed the exhortation in 1 Timothy chapter 6 concerning those who are rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. In other words, puffed up with pride. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That they trust not in uncertain riches. Our faith is to be in God, not in uncertain riches, the riches of this life. For surely riches shall take wings and fly away. but that which is in Christ Jesus, the riches in Christ Jesus, the love of God in Christ Jesus, the eternal prospect that we have in heaven in Christ Jesus, that is a sure foundation. That shall not just depart, fly away, nothing uncertain there. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. There's a certainty, a good foundation in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There is a good foundation. The Lord, in his wisdom, not in our natural wisdom, so exhorts us that we should pray, and not just with the lip, but with the heart. Give us day by day our daily bread. You might wonder why at times things are not easy. Why there isn't a great store laid up so that you can, as it were, relax and settle down. The Lord says, give us day by day our daily bread, that we are to be kept dependent upon him. We also notice, though, in that part of Proverbs 30 that we read, there is the connection between the first verses that we read concerning the Son of God, the Word of God, the purity of the Word, and what immediately follows. And that is very true here, in the spiritual sense of this verse in Luke 11, verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. O Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life sent down from above. We would not want to dwell on natural things for any longer, but to come to that which is spiritual, to Christ, who is the bread of heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. We read of the giving of the manna in Exodus. There the children of Israel were in the wilderness. There they had nothing to eat. And they cried out. Indeed, sadly, they murmured. They cried against Moses, which was to cry against God, as Moses was the servant and the prophet of the Lord. But the Lord, in his mercy and his kindness, how beautifully this shows forth the type of God's gift of eternal life to the most unworthy, to those of us who have murmured against him, chafed against him, rebelled against him, yet he has shown mercy in Christ Jesus the Lord. It came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," which means in the original language, "What is this?" For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." When the Lord, and realised myself as I look back, when the Lord first brought me, that time appointed, the appointed place, to come to be brought to a knowledge of salvation in Christ. At first I might have said, "Well, what is this? What is happening?" Or even to those blessed truths, perhaps, "What is this?" not to understand. Oh, how compassionate, how merciful the Lord was unto me, and indeed unto each of his true church. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And those things in our life that we do not understand, troubles that we come into, shortages, famines, difficulties, things that we look not for. Well, the Apostle Paul, he didn't look for the thorn in the flesh. It hurt, it was greatly painful to him. It seemed to be a hindrance to his ministry. He prayed thrice that the Lord would take it from him. But the Lord said unto him, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." It was of the Lord. Are those thorns in the flesh? Those things that we cannot put straight, we perhaps cried unto the Lord that he might put them straight, but yet we must walk on with them, trusting in the Lord's grace, the Lord's mercy, depending upon the Lord, weaken ourselves by faith, laying hold upon one who is mighty. "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." There it was provided day by day. On the Jewish Sabbath, there was none. But on the day before the Sabbath, there was twice as much there to be gathered. So day by day, there was that bread given unto the children of Israel. "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." We read in Numbers chapter 11, some time later there was that complaining about the manna, dissatisfaction. They were dissatisfied. "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." They had been long partaking and gathering of this manna. Now they've become tired. Now we have need to pray this daily, that we should pray from the heart. Give us day by day our daily bread. Not to be tired of the way that the Lord has called us to walk in. Not to be tired of the Lord's precious love and mercy. God forbid that we should ever become tired of Christ and his precious name. Indeed, this was the great sin, spiritually, of the children of Israel. That they said that there was nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Our soul is dried away. When you consider that Christ is set forth in type by that manna. O Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life sent down from heaven, from above. To say our soul is dried away with the figure and type of Christ. Oh, what an insult unto Almighty God. Oh, how we need to guard against this, that we may pray with our heart, "Give us day by day our daily bread." That it should be our daily desire, the hourly desire, that we should know the Lord Jesus Christ and know him more. That whatever we do it as unto Christ. It may be seemingly a menial thing or an ordinary thing, but in all things to do unto Christ. Give us day by day our daily bread. That each day that we should have that communion and know that communion with Christ. And if we feel a separation, it should be painful unto us. And that we cry the more earnestly, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Oh, that the Lord may come unto us, that we may be fed spiritually. Rather than to be in that state, our soul is dried away. Pick up the Bible and it looks dry. Come to chapel and it's dry. Prayer meeting and dry. Hymn book dry. Well, we're inclined to blame the chapel, the minister, the deacons, everybody else but ourselves. We're no better than the Israelites in the wilderness that were cut off in God's wrath. So as to refute the accusation of the people that there was this dry bread, the word of God said that the manna was as coriander seed. Or coriander. That seed is... it has a spicy aromatic. There's nothing bland about it at all. There's a testimony that in reality there's nothing bland about Christ and the gospel. It is to the unbelieving mind, the worldly mind who is full of the things of this life and says, "Who is the Lord?" The colour thereof is the colour of bdellium. The colour of that which is precious, not some ordinary thing. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was of the taste of fresh oil. Now that speaks, the oil is so often a figure, a type of the Holy Spirit. There is that anointing. Christ anointed without measure. The word Christ means the anointed one in Greek. Christos, the anointed one. Messiah, in Hebrew, the anointed one. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. That which came from the dew, from the moisture. We have the testimony there in Holy Scripture to refute the accusation of the Israelites that it was dry bread. The soul was dried away. Nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. So if the Bible seems dry, chapel's dry, the ministry dry, we'll perhaps need a praying for the minister more. Hymns dry, prayer dry. Shall we not come unto the Lord Jesus Christ? And pray the more earnestly, give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. Indeed, it is a sin. To see in the blessed things of God and in Christ Jesus nothing. Or that which is maybe something, but our thoughts are really drawn aside to other things. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? That we may do business and gain this and gain that. Now we need to pray the more earnestly. Give us day by day our daily bread. That the Lord should give that bread unto us, that the Lord should give us a true desire. We've sometimes known it ourselves, or perhaps see it in others. Put before them a meal, food, and they do not eat. For they're sick, ill. So when we've been very ill, the best of food has come in front of us and we just cannot eat. We've no desire for it, no taste. And so it is spiritually when we're sickly. We have no taste, no desire. Even the best of foods, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And as it were, thinking our thoughts, take it from us. We have no desire for these things. We care not for these things. It's truly a sign of sickness. Dangerous sickness. But here we cry, give us day by day our daily bread. There's an appetite. And as the Lord continued further on into that chapter, if we ask bread, if we go to, if any of you that is a father, a son asks any of you that is a father for bread, will you give him a stone? Even in natural things, we would not give our child a stone if he was hungry and asked for bread. Or a serpent, or a snake, when he's asked for a fish, or a scorpion, he's asked for an egg. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, we have a good God in heaven. Not a begrudging one. Oh, if we come unto the Lord in the precious name of Jesus, how we have such promises there. Such a gracious reception there. Every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Give us day by day our daily bread. We're praying that from the heart. In the name of Jesus, it's not a vain prayer. Give us day by day our daily bread. How gracious the Lord was, even amongst the wickedness of the children of Israel, that the manna ceased not until they were in the promised land. It was given through all the days of rebellion and wanderings. Oh, how gracious God is. What encouragements we have there to pray, give us day by day our daily bread. For our Lord said that I am the bread of life. He said in that chapter, and it was a great offence to the unbelieving Jews, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So went on to say, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jews could only think of that literally. The Lord said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That spiritual feeding upon Christ. We have that figure set forth in the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, where our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and broke it. And said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What is it to feed upon his body, particularly his broken body? To look unto our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered at Calvary. It's not like the Church of Rome would pretend that, and alas, quite a few other so-called churches have adopted it as well, that when it is the Lord's table, somehow that the bread becomes the body of Christ and you're actually literally eating Christ. It is a blasphemy. That somehow Christ is sacrificed again. Christ was once suffered. We look back to that day by faith. To feed upon Christ's body is to feed upon that blessed truth that Christ died the righteous for the unrighteous. The Lamb of God, which beareth the sins of the world. One who laid down his life in the place of the church, every true believer. How that should indeed be a banquet for us to feed upon that. To feed upon his love and his grace. There shown forth. As I've observed in only since I've been taking the Lord's table as a minister. You take the bread as it's on the plate and there are no crumbs. But as one breaks the piece of bread, there are the crumbs that fall down. We see there in the breaking of our Lord's body, there are those crumbs of mercy that come down. That Syrophoenician woman, she saw that. Yea, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There she was commended to that great faith. There she saw she was but a dog, unworthy. Yet there were those crumbs that fell down from the master's table. And how do the crumbs fall down when the bread is broken? The broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those crumbs of mercy that come down. Give us day by day our daily bread. We have daily sins. We have need of daily mercy, of forgiveness. We have daily trials. Some of us daily disappointments. Daily griefs. Daily impossibilities. Give us day by day our daily bread. We need Christ, the living bread. For forgiveness, for mercy, for wisdom, for comfort. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now we need the Lord to appear. We have the example of Elijah. Elijah was a man of like passions, like we are. We have that testimony in Holy Scripture. Yet he prayed, and the power of that prayer. Prayer, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we read of Elijah. There was that time he prayed and there was no rain, no dew. How indeed he must be a partaker of those sufferings as well as Ahab and the rebellious Israelites. For that famine that came upon the land, how that should bring suffering upon all. But the Lord was with him. Firstly, the Lord commanded him to go to the brook Cherith, where he was fed by the ravens, the bread and the flesh, or meat. And it came evening, morning and evening. There was that provision. Well, we should say that there's the morning and the evening sacrifice in the Old Testament tabernacle and the rites of the temple. That morning and evening sacrifice, how we need morning and evening as we arise, in the morning as we go to bed. Oh, to know of that which those sacrifices point to, which is Christ and his shed blood. And his love and mercy. There at Brook Cherith, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But then that brook dried up. And he was directed to a widow woman of Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me, and for my son, that we may eat it and die." There's only enough for that day. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. There the things of God must come first, even there when there's only just enough for today. But them that honour God, them that honour me, saith the Lord, I will honour. The widow woman and her son weren't left to starve and to die, nor the prophet of God. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Cruse, that means a small jar, not a lot, but not a tank. Just a cruse, a small jar of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And we read, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. There would have been no doubt those prayers, give us day by day our daily bread. There was a dependency upon God. There was only enough for the day. Elijah, a man of like passion, such as we are, I know if I'd been there, been thinking about, well, will there be any there tomorrow? We've sort of touched the bottom of the barrel today. What about tomorrow? Will there be some weevils break out and eat it all? It all go rotten? But no, it wasted not. It was there day by day, replenished by the miraculous hand of God. There was always sufficient. I'm so thankful that the word of God has recorded such things. And often we find ourselves in that place with the widow woman of Zarephath. Enough for today, but what about tomorrow? Or the week after, or the month after? It's not an impossibility for us to continue. But yet, where there was that honouring of God, that dependency upon God, God is faithful. Give us day by day our daily bread. Not so that we should not be in any doubt as to whether that prayer would be a vain one or not. Our Lord gives us it later on, as we read in Luke chapter 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Lord is faithful. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £650, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon. The collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 351. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven is manifestly passed from death and sealed an heir of heaven. Hymn 351.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.